All right, so today's message, and so I'm just going to let you know, because you haven't probably heard me speak in a long time, unless you listen online, and I'm just, you know, sitting there doing my teaching online whenever I do it. But I do enjoy, really pressing in and hearing from the Lord, and I don't take it lightly. Like, what I pray, like, what exactly, neither does Pastor Toy, what exactly do you want to say to your people today? It's so important for me to make sure that it is timely, that it's a word in due season, and that it will change us from the inside out, okay? So we're going to get going. The message today is called The Battle Within, and when we refuse to resist sin, we are inviting disaster into our lives. I know that sounds like a heavy thing, but I really just felt impressed that the Lord wants us to talk about this some today. So we're going to go ahead and start. Okay. Before we start, I'm going to say another quick prayer. Can y'all close your eyes for just a second? Father God, we just open up our hearts to receive all that you have for us, Lord God. Father, please help me to deliver this as you would have me to deliver it, Lord God. And if there's anything that you would like to add, any kind of stories, please bring them to my remembrance by the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, if there's anything that you want to do other than what our plan is and what we believe to do, Lord God, that you would just impress it upon us, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that we hear your voice and the voice of another will not follow after. And Lord God, our focus is yours and our hearts are yours, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's called The Battle Within, and we're going to start in James 4:1-8. I've got it here in the NIV, and we're going to talk a little bit about what causes fights and quarrels among you. So it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that's a lot of Scripture. So what we're going to do is we're going to just take each verse, and we're going to break it down. And we're going to find out a little bit about ourselves today, okay? We're going to find out a little bit about why we act the way we act sometimes, okay? I know probably not you, but I've had some issues with having some conflict in my life, okay? And the Word of God is so cool because it shows us, it gives us instruction and guidance, but it also shows us why things happen, okay? So we're going to go ahead and break down the set of scriptures so we can understand them. And did you know that wisdom is the application of knowledge? So let's see what God is saying here so we can get that knowledge and apply it in our lives and walk in his wisdom. Amen? Okay, so we're reading out of James's book that James wrote for us, you know, here. So we're going to start again in James 4:1. I have it in the NIV. So what causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? So have you ever had a situation where maybe you're in a relationship, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a, you know, friend. Have you ever had a fight or a quarrel? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, so we have all had some kind of fight, some kind of quarrel. You're just chill. It's okay. I get it. He's all good. You can take this and help somebody else. But what desires could we possibly have within ourselves that could cause fights and quarrels? What desires could we have on the inside of us that could cause fights and quarrels? I've got a few that we can talk about. There's many, but the three that the Lord put on my heart to talk about are these. We may be dealing with the prideful desire to be right and for others to know that we are right. Anybody ever have that desire? Look, I'm right. I know I'm right. And you know, you may be right, But that desire and that pride for us to push it through, to get it through to everybody else, is not always good. Amen? So we may be dealing with a prideful desire to be right and for others to know that we are right. God bless you. We might be coming from a place of insecurity, and you have a desire to feel secure. You have a desire to be understood. You have a desire for someone to understand you and what you're saying and what you're about. And that desire inside you, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but how we go about it sometimes can be bad, because we get frustrated, we get angry, and we can get frustrated and we can get angry when we want to be understood and we don't feel like we're being understood. And then fights and quarrels can happen because you want to be understood and you want someone to listen to you and you want to be heard. And those are not bad things, but how we operate in that desire could cause a problem, could cause a fight or a quarrel, could it not? Okay, so we have pride, I want to be right. We have insecurity, I want to be understood. And then another one that I wanted to talk about was we might be coming from a place of, like I said, insecurity, where our desire is to be understood, and when we are not understood, we allow that anger to surface. And then it may come from a desire to take control over the situation or to take control over another person. And that's not a good desire. You know, sometimes we feel, and this may go with the security thing too, we feel like when things are out of our control that we're not able to be peaceful. And so when we feel like something is out of control, a lot of times we have a desire to force it back under our control. Okay? Nobody here? Nobody here but just me? Okay. All right. So pride, insecurity, and control. Control. Okay. All right? We want control. Okay? Well, today we're going to talk about these desires that can cause quarrels and conflicts in our lives and how we need to check that battle within with Jesus. Okay? Okay. So, when this is the case, there is a problem that requires internal reflection, prayer, and true humility in order for change to occur. Okay? You can live your whole life in conflict if you desire. God's not going to force you not to. But today we're going to get knowledge so that we can apply wisdom, that knowledge, and live in wisdom so that we don't have to live a life of conflict. We don't have to live a life of all this, you know, killing. You're like, killing? Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Okay, let me talk about this. We have a statement here that says that when we have unfulfilled desire, we kill. Well, certainly, in the world, there's been a lot of killing, right? And so it can definitely mean serious death killing. But I want to talk to you a little bit from a different angle here, just a little bit better. I mean, not better, but just a little bit more from a different angle. What, when we have these desires and these conflicts going on and we don't get any help from the Lord over them, we can kill things. What do you think are other things that we could kill? What are we killing when we continue to allow the above desires to create conflict? We are killing intimacy. We are killing unity. We're killing family closeness. Okay? We may be killing family closeness because we are teaching our children by example. And believe it or not, we are teaching our children by example, whether we're speaking it or not. They're looking, they're watching, and they're going to see how you handle conflict, what you do with your desires, how you're operating. So if you are blowing up and getting angry every time you have a desire that's unfulfilled, they're going to see that, and they're going to be taught by that example. So it's important for us to get this knowledge and apply this wisdom so that we can live a life that honors God and changes us from the inside out, okay? So that not only we have a better life, but our children have a better life. They have a better example, and they can live a better life too. One, a better life than we did, okay? Like, y'all know my story. I won't go into it, but the only way we communicated was through yelling. That was it. That's all I had. So that's why we joke about our first 6 months of our marriage, because I did a lot of that. I did a lot of yelling until the Lord helped me figure out that wasn't the way. And so I'm a pretty quick study. So I got it, you know, pretty quick on that wasn't how it was supposed to be. Now, do I still get angry and still yell occasionally? Sure. I haven't yelled at Pastor Tori in forever. My last yelling I did was when the kids were a little bit younger. They were in their teens. I didn't know if I was going to make it out. I didn't know if I was going to make it. Right? Some of y'all go, yes. I'm not expecting or believing that for you guys that have young ones. No. We're expecting a better plan for y'all in the name of Jesus. Amen. But, you know, God has a better way. He has a better way for us. So we're going to get this knowledge and we're going to apply it in our lives and live in wisdom so that not only our lives can be better, but those around us, their lives can be better. So we don't want to be killing intimacy, unity, family closeness, future opportunities that God may have had in store for us because we kill faith opportunities through living in continual conflict. Another thing that we might kill in our lives would be our true destiny or our path that the Lord has for us. And if we live a life of continual conflict, we could be derailing God's plan for us because we're stunting our growth in Him. So we need to make sure that we get back on track, okay? Is this okay with everyone, y'all? Good here? When we covet and fight and quarrel, we cannot receive all that God has for us because we are so wrapped up in our emotions that we aren't present enough spiritually to even ask God for what we need. See, it says you'd have not because you don't ask God. Well, why in the world, if we know God and we know that He has everything for us, why in the world would we not go to Him and ask Him for help or ask Him for provision or ask Him for anything? Why do you think it would be that we don't go to Him? It says right there, you have not because you don't ask God. What would be the reason why we don't go to God? Because we're too wrapped up in our emotions to even think about it. We're too upset, we're too angry, we're too, you know, freaked out, we're too afraid, or whatever. Our emotions have complete control, and we don't even think about it sometimes to go to God, right? Okay, so that's what happens. We get so wrapped up in our emotions that we aren't present enough spiritually to even ask God for what we need. And we become too busy trying to provide it for ourselves, right? These are my desires. This is what I want. This is I want. I want to be understood. I want to have control. I want to be right. So we're so caught up in these things, or I want this sin in my life. I want to do this. You know, we can get so caught up in sin that we don't go to God for help to get out of it because it's a desire and we want it and it's part of us and we just keep at it. Okay? So we're talking a little bit today about resisting sin. Amen? And what the benefits are. But, okay, so we get too busy trying to provide it for ourselves. So the next scripture in verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Well, what does this even mean? When we do finally get around to asking God, we have a clue. Oh my gosh, I didn't even include God in this. I'm going to ask Him now. So when we do get around to asking God, we're asking amiss because we haven't taken the time to humble ourselves and clean our hearts yet. And so we don't have God's wisdom on the matter. So we're asking God from a standpoint of our own motive. Our own motive, our own desires, our own wants. We haven't even gotten to God and said, hey, God, what do you want? We're just so wrapped up in what we want that we ask with the wrong motive. Okay, so we're asking amiss. All right? So we have in mind our motives and our desires and thoughts about what we want and thoughts on how we are looking to get what would please us. Verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. What does this even mean? What does this mean? We can't even know people in the world? No, that's not what that is meaning. Do not take it out of context. Do not twist it around. Jesus himself was friend to sinners. He was out in the world, the woman at the well. He was out in the world talking to people. So that's not what that is saying, okay? That's not what that is saying. It's what it's saying is we cannot be so intimate with the world system that we don't even give God his due. We don't allow him into our lives. Let me read it again. You adulterous people, what is an adulterer? Someone who is unfaithful to whom they love. or say they love, right? And the person here meaning being God, right? So you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, what do you think God is saying here? He is saying that those who do not even consider what he would do, but go ahead and choose the world's way of operating and dealing with things, are in actuality giving themselves adulterously to not only themselves, but to their own desires, okay? And emotions, and the world's way of dealing with things instead of going to him. They're going to others and to themselves for counsel and for guidance, which we know just from verses 1-3, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to just rely upon yourself, your own reasonings, your own thoughts. Yeah, God gave us a brain, absolutely. He wants us to use it, but he wants us to go to him with that brain and let him show us logically and through the word what the way is, what the path is, what the direction is. If we use our mind to reason out things the way the world does, then we're becoming close friends with the world system and the way that the world does things. Well, Miss Rita, what are you even talking about? You lost me, okay? Well, let's just go back a second. Let's say you're at work and you have a situation. You had a fight with your spouse, your husband, your wife. And you go to work and you're mad about it. And you want to be right. So you talk to this friend at work, coworker, whatever, and you know that they don't serve God. They don't live for God or Jesus at all. But you know they're going to be on your side about this. And so you start going and you start talking and you start giving them your explanation of what happened. You want to be heard. You want to be understood. You want to take back some control. You want to be right. And this friend at work, just all about it with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, I can't believe that happened to you. I can't believe they did that. They said that. What? So you're becoming close, intimate with the world system. And what's happening is you're going to get some ungodly counsel. And the next thing that person's probably going to say is, I don't know why you're with him. You should just leave him. Now, is that God's way? No. But how many relationships have failed because people get so familiar with the world's way. They're so much friends with the world's way that they just, everything is gone. The devil will strip you of everything you have if you let him. He's like a boxer. He likes to hit you, a punch here and a punch here. You know, he's like to do it from all different angles. And he'll try to get you in your emotions. He'll try to get you at your work. He'll try to get you all these things. But you know what? He's under our feet. If we don't let him get up. How do we do that, Miss Rita? How do we let the devil get up? We put him down with the word. We speak the word, and then we humble ourselves and clean our hearts. But I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, let's go back to the word. Okay. So James 4, verse 5. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he, being God, jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. That's why you're ruined for sinning. All right? That's why it doesn't feel good to sin at all. Because the Holy Spirit's taking up residency inside you. You know? Now, you can press him down and keep doing the sin and keep doing the thing that you know isn't right. And he'll take a step back and he won't pressure you because he's a gentleman. He's not going to say, don't do that. Don't act like that. Now, he might say, that's not a good idea. You know, because it's that still small voice like I preached on last Wednesday. That still small voice. It's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the wind. He's in that still small voice. And the Holy Spirit will tell you and guide you and direct you. But if you're used to not paying attention to him and just ignoring him, he's going to take a step back a little bit until you get ready. All right? So if it's been a while since you heard him, you need to repent and ask the Lord to be strong again and let you hear clearly again and that you're ready, that you're humble, that you submit yourself to God. Because he wants to help you in every way. You know, don't shut him down. Don't shut him out. You don't want that kind of life. It's a life of disaster, like I started with here. I'm going to go back to my byline. When we refuse to resist sin, we are inviting disaster into our lives. We don't want that. Nothing about that is good. All right. So, what is sin? Does anyone know what the definition of sin is? I should have looked up a Webster's Dictionary one, but basically, it's if you, the Word of God says that if you know something to do that's right and you don't do it, that is sin. Oh my gosh. I guess I'm sinning every day all day sometimes. You know, I feel like, oh my gosh, I know to do what's right and I don't do it. Golly. That's why we need to clear things out with the Lord a lot of times. You know, a lot of times we don't feel like as close to God as we did before, or we feel a little distant or whatever. It's not Him. He hasn't gone anywhere. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But sometimes our heart, and I've got a scripture for this, but our heart can condemn us before God, and we can feel distant because we've let things pile up. They just keep piling up. You know, it's important for us to go to God and get some things cleared out. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, or do you think scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has accused, he has caused to dwell in us? The Holy Spirit within us longs for us to be connected in such a way that we are one with him. Okay, you know, I got to say this. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm looking for the one. I'm looking for the one. The one is going to complete me. I can't wait to find the one. That is a lie from the devil. There is not the one that's going to complete you other than the one Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ. And how can you, oh, Lord, help me. you don't want me to get on this soapbox. How can you give yourself to another if you're not whole? You got to be whole with Jesus, with God first, so that you can give yourself to another. You don't want to give somebody broken parts. You want to be whole and healed and well. And so, you know, get whole with God so that you do or are able to connect with someone in a way that would be beneficial to them and to you. Amen? Be whole. Be the one. Let Jesus be the one so you can have a whole before you try to give out any of that. Amen? That's just a little on the side. Okay. James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. Oh, my goodness. All of this stuff. You know, you're adulterous. All this stuff. And then it says, but God. Amen? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. There's that word proud again. Pride, proud. We got to get rid of that bad pride. It's okay to have some good pride. You know, have some confidence. Have some, you know, good pride in who you are and what you're about and you know, what you're believing and all that. But that yucky pride, that pride that makes things ugly, that has to go. And if you've been living for God for any amount of time, that has had to be addressed. And if it hasn't been addressed, then you're stunting your own growth. So if you don't get anything else than what I'm saying today, just know that pride has to fall. You have to humble yourself before God, submit to God, resist that devil, and he will flee from you. But I'm getting ahead of myself again. Let's go back. Okay. So in God's infinite long-suffering and unfailing love, he extends to us more grace to get it right, more grace to come to him humbly, and more grace to promise us favor. Amen? That's a scripture of favor right there. He shows favor to the humble. James 4:7. Now here is the meat of it all. Submit yourselves into God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the whole instruction packet right here. This is it. This is what we're coming to. All that other stuff was just to show us where we were. This is the instruction, all right? Submit to God, then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That devil that I told you you got your foot on his neck, okay? He is down below your feet unless you let him up to play. Unless you let him have control of your emotions, let him have, you know, an opportunity into your life in this area or that area. But if he's running around doing some things because we've let him, then we need to make sure that we're submitted to God and that we resist the devil. Now, what does that even mean? How do you resist the devil? Okay, let's go back to that scenario when you're angry about your spouse. That is just a great scenario to use because it's so easy to use. All right. So you got some anger, you're irritated, What are you going to do with that? How do you resist the devil in your relationship? Whether it's a spouse or whether it's a friend or whether it's a sibling, how do you resist the devil? What comes at you that you have to resist? I'm asking. I'm a teacher, not really a preacher, I'm a teacher. What? What comes at you that you have to resist? Yes. Your thoughts. That's exactly right. This body is going nowhere without a thought telling it what to do. Okay? All right? The slamming of the door. That doesn't happen without you here going here. I'm going to slam that door. And then you do it. Okay? All right? So this body is just going to be in line. You got a spirit, you got a soul, you got a body. Your soul has your mind, your will, your emotions. Don't let your emotions have your body and your spirit and your mind. You can't live like that. If you do, you're going to be on a roller coaster all your life, up and down. Angry, okay. Sad, depressed, okay. You know, it's going to be like that your whole life if you let your emotions control it. You can't. You got to take control of your thoughts. I've done so many teachings on controlling your thoughts. I'm not going to get up here and go into all of that, but resist the devil in your thoughts. That means you cannot afford the anger, freak out, pity party. You cannot afford it. You are better than that. You are better than that. Pump the brakes on it now. Put it in park even. Don't allow those things to control you, because that is the devil at play. And if you're anything like me, you don't want the devil to have any part of you. Like Jesus said, the enemy's coming, but he has no part in me. I want to be like that. That's our greatest desire, to be like him, right? Don't let the devil have any of it. So resist the devil, okay? So we're talking about sin. We're talking about resisting the devil in our thoughts. And our thoughts take us into any kind of sin. What if it's looking at something that you shouldn't? I was reading a book the other day, looked perfectly fine on the outside. It was this crazy fantasy like another world, and it had like this lady who could tame beasts, you know, and it was so cool and everything. And I got about 2/3 through it, and all of a sudden there was a scene. Y'all know what I'm saying? Close that sucker down. That ain't part of me. And I was ready to read 2 and 3 books because it was a 3-part series. But I had to just say, that's not for me. Well, you know, you can just, you know, go past that and keep going. But for me, it's kind of spoiled after that, because, like, why did they have to include that crap? You know, sorry, that's a bad word. That's the worst I get. But why did they have to include that? What is it that we're putting into our thoughts? What is it that we're looking at that we shouldn't be looking at? What is the sin that the enemy is trying to put in our lives? Whether it be anger, whether it be lust, temptation to lie. When the truth sound better. Why are you lying when the truth sound better? I don't understand. Stop lying. That's sin. Just back up. You don't have to embellish. You don't have to go off and make it sound better. You don't have to do all that. Just let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Don't lie. Cut it out. Why do I have to get up here and tell you that? Telling myself to. It doesn't have to sound better. You don't have to make it better. Better is the truth. Like I said in my last teaching on Wednesday, if you have to use deceit, you're already not going down the right road. Okay, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And this is how we do it. We submit to God. We surrender our emotions to him, our pride, our insecurity, our need for control over to him. We resist the devil and the pull toward the anger and the pull toward the strife and the pull towards the lust and the pull towards the desire that we know isn't right. All those desires that are in us that are waging war, that pull, when you submit to God, go to God and say, you know what, God, I'm having trouble with this right here. And then you say, no, devil, I'm not doing that. So that submit to God, so simple. God, I'm having trouble right here. I submit myself to you. No, devil, I'm not doing that. And then guess what? The word of God, which is the truth, says the devil has to flee. He has to flee. So what happens to that lust or that desire, that ungodly thing that's coming at you, is it cools off. It lightens up. It lessens. You notice that? When you submit to God, you resist the devil, and then that pull towards that sin lightens, it lifts. And the more you do this process, the more you do what the Word of God says, the easier and easier it will be to resist that temptation, to resist that anger, to resist that lust, to resist that thing that tries to get you. And it's just a simple process. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And it lightens. I promise you it does. Okay? So we get the relief from the heat of the moment because the emotions get cooled down and the enemy has to leave. We may not have gotten to that point yet because we haven't chosen to submit and resist as often as we should have. But when we train ourselves to do that, the quality of our lives will increase tremendously. And we want the best quality of life that God has for us, do we not? Last verse. Well, I have some other references and then one tag, but this is the last verse of the set that I gave you for start off with. And then it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This sounds like a cuss word. You double-minded. I looked it up in the lexicon in the Greek, and it says double-spirited. We shouldn't be of two spirits. Don't be acting like the devil. He's not your father. Who's your daddy, like Pastor said last week? Know who your daddy is. Okay, so when you submit to God, you resist the devil, he has to flee. Then you come near to God, and you wash your hands from the sin, and you purify your heart from the junk, and you get your mind straight so that you're not double-minded. You're in position to draw near to God, and you will feel his presence and his peace, and you'll be able to cleanse yourself by emptying out your heart to him and washing the sin from your lives by receiving forgiveness for those sins from God. We will also be able to stabilize our minds, our souls, our emotions, and set them in line with God and his word. We know that James 1:8 says that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways and cannot receive anything from God. So being double-minded is a bad thing. We cannot be thinking the way the world thinks and then trying to put in some of God's stuff here. You know, don't even get with that friend at work that's going to stroke your ego or give you, you know, the feel good about how you were right. Don't even do it. Don't even go there. That's being double-minded. That's choosing to be enemies, friends with the enemy. Well, there's an old movie a long time ago that was called Sleeping with the Enemy. You don't want to be sleeping with the enemy. Amen. Okay, so we've got to draw close to God and allow him to draw close to us to stabilize us in our minds and our emotions so that we aren't living this life on a roller coaster of emotion due to our internal conflicting war of desires. Yes, we all have that. Internal conflicting war of desires. Get them in check. The desires need to be for God. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, the good ones. Okay? So while we're trying to get all this other desire fulfilled, it's just causing war. It's just causing war. War in your family, war in your marriage, war at work, war over here, disaster coming. That's not how God called us to live. We have a choice to make. We can continue to invite and court disaster in our lives by feeding our sinful desires, or we can submit to God, resist the devil, and draw close to God and receive all that he has for us. This really shouldn't be a hard decision, right? God is truly for us, never against us, Romans 8:31. If we seek him first, all else will be provided for us, Matthew 6:33. We can trust that he will never leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. And we know that God is working all things together for our good, Romans 8:28. Amen? We can trust him with our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. You can trust God with your heart. That's what I put on the sign outside today. Did y'all see that? You can trust God with your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions. You really can. Now, Aaron, come here. Come here, hon. I'm going to give you this pen. Now give it back to me. Okay, take it. Now give it back to me. Is that how we do with God? Here's my heart, God. Oh, let me have that back. I trust you, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Not today. Not today. Not today. Oh, no. No, I'm not ready. Okay. I'm going to say you're trustworthy today. Not tomorrow. That's how we treat God. Thank you, honey. You did a great job. That's how we treat God sometimes. You know? That's not good. How do you have a relationship like that? If I treated you like that, would you, like, really trust me? I don't know. No, with your whole heart for your whole life. You know, I know some people say that for their marriage, and that's awesome, but I'm saying it's for God. My whole heart for my whole life. Not taking back my trust. I'm not taking back my heart. I'm trusting you with it all. And if we haven't been doing that lately, today is a point of contact for us to do that, to redo that. Okay? I'm almost done. Got one more scripture. We can trust him with our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if we don't trust him with our desires, then they will rule us. If we don't trust God with our desires, they will rule us and cause our lives to be continuous war. Submit to God, resist the devil, and all his pull toward any kind of sin, and you will be able to confidently go to God and receive all that he has for you. So my closing scripture, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's so good, okay? It's 1 John 3:21 and 22. I have it here in the ESV. Beloved, look, I'm going to get y'all out of here early. It's only 11:19. Wow. Last scripture. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Don't we need to have confidence before God? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. Keeping your heart clean before God enables you to truly live a life of faith. If you don't feel good about what you're doing, your heart can condemn you. And it will do what I said earlier. It'll put space between you and God. Is there truly space? No. Because God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But we can feel like there's space between us. You know? And that's when our heart condemns us. And wouldn't the enemy want us to feel condemned all the time? Because right here it says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Oh my gosh. So all we have to do is make sure that we don't have anything between us and God, and we can ask and receive. Simply just ask and receive. So no wonder the enemy wants to tell you that you're not good enough, or that you're not able to live this life, or that you are stupid, or that you don't understand things, or that you and God are not good. The enemy wants you to believe that so that you won't have faith to go to God and receive openly and freely. Okay? So if there's anything between you and God today, we're going to pray for that to go away so that there is nothing in between you and him and the faith that you have in what he is going to do for you. Amen. Thank you. So keeping your heart clean before God enables you to truly live a life of faith, receiving from God freely. We know that John 3:16 tells us that Jesus died on the cross for us to live, for us to have everlasting life. Amen? And we know through many scriptures that it's not just about beaming up out of here as soon as we get saved, or else we'd all be gone right now. But it's about us living here and growing here and being a light for other people and growing closer to God while we're here and encouraging one another and lifting each other up. We know that John 10:10 tells us that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what? Jesus keeps saying, keeps talking, the end of the story, Jesus came to bring us life and that abundantly. Abundant life is not a life of war and conflict and turmoil. That's why God gives us instruction in his word so that we can read it, get the knowledge, apply it, and live a better life. Just like we did today. Okay? The word of God helps us to change from the inside out if we will allow it, if we'll just say, yes, Lord. So let's receive all that he has for us. Amen. Let's receive all that God has for us. And let's let this message that God gave me and us today be a reminder that Internal desires can cause great conflict if they are not checked at the door with Jesus. Amen? And they can destroy lives. So the next time you feel yourself getting out of sorts or getting pulled toward any kind of sin, go to God. Submit yourself to Him. Resist the devil. And that thing will lighten and lift. I promise you. Because that's the Word of God. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and pray right now to seal this message. And then we're also going to pray if there's anybody in here who has not ever received Jesus as our Lord and Savior and you'd like to. And then we're also going to pray, then we can today. But then we're also going to pray for anyone, and everybody's eyes are going to be closed, and we're going to respect everybody's privacy. But we're also going to pray that if you felt distant from God, or if you felt like there's something between you and your heart's condemning you, or if you just want to rededicate yourself to the Lord and fully give yourself to Him and submit yourself to Him, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that today, okay? Can you just lower the lights a little bit? We're going to give everybody just a little bit of privacy. Mr. Milton, thank you. And we're going to pray. We're going to seal this word first. Father God, and you can put on a little bit of sweet little music in the background if you want to, low. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. We hide this word in our heart so that we'll not sin against you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for your truth being illuminated in our spirit by your Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Help us, Lord God, to recognize truth and to follow after it, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that this word that you've given us today gives us insight into what we need to do. And Father God, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to hear your word and to be changed by it. If there's anyone here who has not ever given your heart to the Lord and you would like to do that, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and rose again for your sins to be forgiven, and you've never confessed that with your mouth or said it openly, and you would like to do that, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll pray with you and we'll welcome you into the body of Christ and into the kingdom. You never have to wonder or worry about if you're going to go to heaven. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll pray with you. All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, awesome. We're going to go ahead and pray today to solidify that so that you know that you know that you know that you will make heaven your home. The Word of God says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, that you will be saved. You don't ever have to wonder again. Okay? So a couple of hands went up, so we're going to take time to do that first. So I want everybody who wants to say this, so we can say it in unity with each other and help these people out. Say, Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for me, that He rose again for my salvation, for forgiveness of all my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now, and I'll never have to worry again if I'm going to heaven. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I am saved in Jesus' name. I believe it, and I've confessed it with my mouth, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord that you will never, let's just give Jesus praise for that. You will never have to worry about it again because God